for the 5D Collective, we have some amazing times. Anyone who is new, a 5D person is a person who is at the very least aware of their emotional spectrum in a way of having a window of welcome. Or even if there is a window of tolerance, it is not one where you justify the emotional triggers. So the adaptive child behavior, the projection of unfinished business. So you know how to be aware of your own adaptive child and to tend to it. And so not to project your nervous system's needs on another, but to instead talk about it. And obviously that doesn't mean you don't have a reaction. No, it means you're aware of those adaptive child patterns. Okay, so 5D Collective is aware of enlightenment, the human way. They are aware of our mammalian heritage, our birthright to be a restorative embodied self and your open-hearted three-year-old self. Doesn't mean you're there yet, but you are very much in the I'm not going to be an ego-sensitive 4D person or 3D. I'm going to be a person who is going to take that journey of personal development. And the personal development can also integrate a therapist, of course. So those of you who are, again, aware of the aspects of our human nature, that's why the 5D is having a different way of harnessing everything that comes with all of these new ascension energies. And they're not new. We've been having ascension energies for a long time already, but they're not taking them and saying there are energy vampires, dark auras, and so on and so forth. The 4D collective and 3D, on the other hand, are not interested in emotional building regulation skills, in emotional heavy lifting. They are not keen on personal development in a way of let me tend to what comes up. They project it. In fact, what I've noticed is a spirituality bypass, and so the codependency type person, martyrs or superiors, spirituality again, bypassers, and the blamers. So the shame cycle is what you will notice they will be actively participating in, but their behavior is something they don't look at, like a Cusco not looking at himself. So from the Emperor's New Groove, the 5D Collective are Pachas, and the rest is Cuscos, and this is not a competition. You can't go to somebody and say, hey, I think you need to go to therapy. That's pretty much not your job or nice or, you know, again. So 5D Collective knows that every person's journey, their way back home to their heart, to be their self. We didn't need to do Frozen 2. We got to understand we're humans first, and we do bring with us the spiritual and spirituality stuff, but we're a whole three-year-old heart. So we choose to be our humanity. And that's why it's easy for the person who's a 5D collective individual to say, yeah, I want to learn how to do my emotions like a grown-up. It's fun. Functional adults, conscious lovers, it's fun. 3D, 4D has a different mindset. They have a different approach. And that's where the good therapists are out there. There's a lot of education. So everyone has access to YouTube and online. Well, not everybody, but you understand what I'm saying. So in the meantime, for us, ascension energies allow the human love narrative and your consciousness to expand. We bring more Pachas out into the world for specific guidance on personal development, inner growth, all this great stuff we talk about. You can become a paid subscriber for anything curiosity related. You can just send emails and ask away. We have FAQs. I look forward to hearing from you all. Let's continue with our episode. Welcome, welcome to my lovely IHP community and the 5D Collective. On this episode, we get to chit-chat about how the healthy self-worth person learns to not engage with dysfunction, maladaptive, unhealed trauma behaviors. I had to use ways because behaviors did not fit. Okay, so let's begin with I am a 5D mystic in the Enlightenment Soul Age group. I'm a solo polyamory individual, and I am a divine feminine of my own oversoul with my own divine masculine, like any other person, but I have my divine masculines. Those are twin flames and soulmates, and I'm attachment and trauma informed. In addition to being a person who worked on the inner growth mindset with the foundations of research in psychology, sociology, and existentialism. The attachment trauma information courses, they are buttload and more. all founded in good therapy, trauma people, experts, okay? So I don't have to use all of this, but sometimes I like to give you the gist, and I probably will. And healthy self-worth is a person who does not have any unhealed trauma charges. So we do have emotions, and we all have implicit bias. We don't project any insecurity because we love ourselves first. We know how to stay within the awareness of our personality. So when I get passionate, I know that I'm in the room. When I'm channeling guidance, I'm not getting passionate, but sometimes I will probably tell a story or more, and that's when you will hear if I have stuff that I'm sharing, but the channeled guidance is specifically for those who tune into those. And as we have the solar eclipse coming up, I wanted to mention a couple of things before we move into the conversation. On the day of the solar eclipse, we also have a new moon. The 5D mystic, all of those who are going to be joining us, that is, know that no human being has a demon attached to them. Okay, so I want to begin with this. Dysfunction is a person who does not have their child parts, at the very least, the basic, in the forefront. Furthermore, if they have not securely attached, if they have had an abusive and or neglectful household, if they will have had childhood developmental trauma, we will have dysfunction of an adaptive child, again, who is unhealed, and they will be dating codependently with the low self-esteem indirect communicators, which involve passive-aggressive groups of people. They are all the people who call us secure, attachment, healthy individuals who do not engage in lust. We do not engage in the fucking, drugging, drinking business in the way that those who have dysfunction, maladaptive child behavior, like, again, it's maladaptive because they grow out of being a teenager of age and out of being a young adult, and they are now maladaptive, and their first 8 years of life will be playing out as that unconscious karma. The 8 to 16 teenage adolescent, that's their next choice point. The first, obviously, you're too young. So those first 3 years of life, implicit memory, and that's why any sensation, image, or affect, any behavior that comes up has a purpose for being there. If you are an embodied, self-aware individual, so you want to do emotional accountability. You want to be a pacha. You chose love, again, and you choose it every time you get the opportunity, when you meet any other human being. So you do not do this misanthropy business. I hate humankind. I dislike humankind. I distrust humankind. Okay, I'm going to leave it just at that one. Okay, so when you are not any of misanthropy, raise your hand and join the 5D collective. You can begin becoming self-aware and not project any of that stuff, which I see all over YouTube. Then it can translate to men, women, sexism, marriage, anything. People hate a bunch of things. Now, it's one thing when they're just, you know, being expressive. You'll always notice when you have an embodied, self-aware human being, because they will tell you, like a functional adult, oh, I'm just sharing right now. Right now, what this is my emotions. I'm having a really bad day, so, you know, I'm sharing it, when you get concerned that they might actually believe in it, you know? So there's a difference when you meet the dysfunctional human being who's hypervigilant, pseudo-alive, 4D mystics, particularly. They're the codependent types who will be living the pseudo-aliveness, and they actually have not only structural dissociation, clinical dissociation. They will continue to want to embark on all of that, which are rituals from the spiritual group, because there are shamans who will tell people not to go to therapists, and those people will listen to them and call them master. Okay, so when people are not interested in their self, they don't look into good attachment or trauma therapists, and they continue to look to YouTube. And they look to the influencers and entertainers that are the Peter Pans, who, wait a minute, they look exactly like the way they want to look. So they're, again, not self-aware. They have an identity. And like a teenager, they've looked to the prom king and queen, and they have their own idea of what the world should look like. So you'll see them out there all navigating to their herd. They're called ethical cults, culty cults, and traditional cults. You'll notice Pinocchio's, Peter Pan's, Lost Boys, Lost Girls, Wendy's, if you're a person who has healthy self-worth. I don't need to spell them out to you because you're self-aware if you're 5D. And if your healthy self-worth means, you know, we all have implicit bias, cultural bias, political bias, gender bias. You have opinions, basically. Some people have more than just opinions, so we can use whatever words you want. My point is, so for Marie, I know exactly where I stand. I love humanity. Consistently will choose to be a person who loves. And oh, that's why we don't engage, as I was saying, with the dysfunction that comes from an adaptive child's unhealed trauma that they will project and basically say that human being and their maladaptive child behavior is not deserving of love. They have a demon attached to them. Those groups of people, they're not deserving of love. How dare they? They are part of the journey to hell and stuff like that. So people who like to do what is called misanthropy, they hate, dislike, or distrust humanity. They don't know that the very definition of a demonic spirit is anyone who will speak against. Let me go grab it, since it was used by a very specific person who I think should really hear themselves, because I think they fit that box. Demoralize any people, divide and or hurt and or kill. So yeah, demonic spirit. Anytime I meet a woman who is talking about how much they hate men, yes, I'm going to say, wow. And anytime I see women silencing men, again, if we need to take any words to the extreme, we will, but we won't. My point is that a healthy self-worth person is not going to want to participate to close-minded people. And there's a lot of them out there. They just find their herd members and they go around shouting at each other. Okay, the people who are able to stay connected to the bigger picture. So I do have a past. My past comes with Jesus and God. I call God the sphere of consciousness in Akash now. I am into the spirituality that Sadhguru shares, and I carry Jesus' love because it's very straightforward. Turn the other cheek, forgive them, for they do not know. Blessed are those who believe without seeing. Furthermore, I was informed of being made just the way that I was supposed to be, and when evil presents itself, I am to stand in faith, which doesn't mean anything because evil does not present itself to you in the way of the books of philosophers and religious textbooks. Thank you, Michael Stone, forensic criminologist. Evil presents itself on a scale of an academic researcher. I'm a sciences person too. I'm not a flat earther, and that's why I'm pseudoscience lady, because I recognize my place, which is not within the sphere of academia. It is pseudoscience because I bring human spiritual and spirituality together, supporting people who want to be their self. It's personal development. So you don't need to reparent. You will have healed if you had any trauma that needed to be addressed seriously. Otherwise, you have trauma charges and those child parts like I did, and I still have plenty of stuff that can come up. You have emotions. They're just not your teenage version because you grew up to become an integrated brain, flexible, adaptive, coherent, energized, stable. This is FACES. Thank you, Daniel Siegel. This is the brain of a young 20-year-old, 25-year-old. You're going to start getting into more. If you have a biologically speaking woman body, your executive decision-making functions are fully developed by the age of 25. For physiologically speaking men, it's by the age of 27. So by those age groups, you will have your long-term capacity to see what you want to do. I was thinking already as a 16-year-old, my long-term. But what I'm saying is they say that's when we can begin to see the, what do I want to do in the future, but not live in the future or in the past. So you should also know, I'm attachment trauma-informed. People who don't have, do not have secure attachment, yeah, they don't live in the now. They will tend to live the avoidant in the future and the ambivalent category in the past and confused and the disorganized. They have an inner battle going on. So they first will have to, if they want, to learn how not to have a battle. And so to learn to engage in a nervous system that becomes organized And then they can begin to develop their attachment relationships. Okay, so that being said, I, Maria, your host, is a secure attachment, differentiated self, healthy self-worth. I'm not superior in fear. And being able to keep in mind God as the essence of love and life and as Akash, and having this opportunity to be a mystic, gives me the opportunity to readdress and reconfirm and reshare what I was saying with one of our episodes, which is being able to be a part of that which is bigger than you. And so an entity, but not just an entity, it's the aspect of knowing that we're all life. So for me, humanly speaking, it's easy. I know I'm flawed and imperfect like everyone else. That's okay. We're a herd. It's like Diego, Sid, and Manny, but we're not movies. So a secure attachment person knows that my herd is imperfect and flawed, and so am I. And I have the ability to stay in love. Thank you, Jesus. And like I said, I'm happy that Sadhguru is here because, yes, spirituality is still something that is important because there's not a lot of people, I mean, at least YouTube, the masses of YouTube are teenagers. They are all dysfunctional and they are adaptive children that are with unhealed trauma who actually don't bring what are actual examples of true partnerships. They don't know what marriage means. They don't even know what a team means. And that's because they don't know how to do what Patrick Tiahan shared. They don't know how to have mutual respect to grow through their healthy conflict. Really, it's I agree to disagree with you and have passionate debates with you. Like, do you know how amazing it is when you're a healthy self-worth woman to have a healthy self-worth man to debate passionately with? I haven't gotten in any type of debate because that requires a lot more time. And just in general, I'm also not big on what's happening outside. It makes me more upset than anything. But it's still having a healthy conflict means to be able and passionately agree to disagree on something. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful energy because you have two intellectually open-minded people with healthy self-worth, which means that neither of them has a teenager ego or a three-year-old broken heart. So we're not trying to impress each other and we're not trying to prove. So teenagers either are trying still to impress each other, which I learned how not to do as a teenager, but I was choosing to be confident. So when you choose love, you're choosing, I know who I am. I'm going to keep on presenting to you who I am and be myself. So when you meet men that are like that, they have very beautiful ego selves like we do, because we all have one. It's a whole three-year-old heart. We're going to build a snowman together. Okay, so we are able to see and appreciate each other as a team and healthy partnerships. We don't compete. We don't compare. We don't have envy, jealousy, spite, resentfulness, or any of backhanded, we don't have inferiority complexes. Healthy self-worth people have healthy self-worth because they know humbly, I'm not superior and fear to you. And the ability to have the bigger picture helps us to continue to learn how to disengage from those who have a dysfunctional, hypervigilant, and not healthy nervous system response because they're in their biological rudeness, and so they're in their past, and they're living out their childhood trauma with you again and again and again. They're not in any way, shape, or form unflappable. They don't know that they are in structural dissociation, and we are not confused. So while they're in a crisis, we're not confused what they're doing. If they're projecting at us, if they go quiet and cut us out, we're also not confused. We might ask questions, but there's no confusion in the head, the mind of a healthy self-worth human being, even as a teenager. Again, you're not going to be ashamed or blame or fault or do any of the low self-esteem codependent type dysfunctional behavior that you see in movies, which is why people don't know what an actual partnership is and they don't represent it all the time. Now, granted, it takes people's wanting to be the emotionally mature version of themselves to be able to actually engage in that level of passionate, what I was saying. So it means you want to bring you, your inner world, you want to bring it forth like in this beautiful, wow, I want to be here like this. So when I think, I don't think, when I feel my whole three-year-old heart, me, Maria, oh my gosh, I'm like, wow, this is amazing to be able to share her with the healthy, self-worth, divine masculine, because that's a masculine and I'm a feminine. So you also know the different energetic imprint, by the way, when you're a mystic. You don't have questions. You don't need a guide because you have the relationship if you're a divine feminine. That's because you have a very excellent embodied self-aware life. So you are not disengaged from your body. You do know what your body is telling you, and you don't distort or have confusion between what is good or bad feelings because you don't have a disconnect from your body. You didn't lose your embodied self-awareness. Anyone who has a dysfunctional nervous system, they lost and will not regain their full restorative embodied self until they work with that adaptive child, the unhealed trauma stuff. Yeah, so as long as they're doing Cuscos and squirrels, yes, they won't get that clarity of body and mind. Okay, so when instead you do, so we have actual team work, we enjoy each other for real, again, to the intimate depths of our own selves, and we accept each other's differences always, and we have healthy and effective communication. Okay, so when you have those partners, that's when you will see what it looks like to actually be people who know how to be a team in love. And then you'll also be in the presence of, well, let's just put it this way, energy is beautiful when you're pure consciousness, which is unconditional love, Purusha, and pure energy, which is Prakriti. And that means a flexible, adaptive, coherent, energized, stable man or woman or they who's an integrated brain and they're having fun being a human with other humans. Okay, so what happens though when we're healthy, self-worth people who are around dysfunction that comes from adaptive children who have their unhealed trauma that they're projecting out into the world? And their maladaptive child behavior involves, I hate humans. Humans are awful. I hate men. I hate women. I hate this. I hate that. Look at how much awful there is. Okay, so for one, we remember that all of us have that whiny three-year-old. I raise my hand. I do too. That's why our divine masculines, they keep us in check. We keep them in check. That's because we have, again, energetic imprints. So we have this thing where we complement each other because that's what happens when you fit like a puzzle. Because that's what happens when people are fitting because they like to tango. And so they're not actually competing. No, they're having exchanges and expanding as those exchanges take place. So their lives become enriched. And the people around them and they, okay. When we are in the absence of a person around us or people that are healthy, self-worth, and we get to be presented with their maladaptive child behavior, we're also going to be surrounded by their low energy, but we won't call it a demon attached to another person, or that they're an energy vampire, or that they're a dark aura, or that they're a leech. Or that there, we won't call them names. Okay, so for first of all, like I was again saying, when we're able to keep in mind the bigger picture with something that is beyond ourself, and that means that you, for me, it involves spirituality, even though I go beyond it, but it involves spirituality. And then with the sciences, I remember the bigger picture to inspire infinite higher human conscious potential for you to be able to know how to be you, to use your prefrontal cortex and know how to work with the word, for example, tolerance, and to notice I don't need to tolerate. Tolerating would mean that I think I have to take a step and tell another state of consciousness, another person, what to be and what to do in life. I don't. I only have to address them if they're addressing me, right? If they're interacting with me. And if they're interacting with me, I'm getting the opportunity. It's a new, challenging situation that will be a possibility, not a problem, because I know, and that's Sadhguru knew, challenging situations are possibilities, not problems. I know, here's Sadhguru again, that your contribution to the world is you, that how you live, how joyful you are, everything has an impact. I also will know how to be my own safe haven, secure base, and therefore secure attachment figure with you there. So I will be able to have the opportunity to let you know that you can be who you are. So the greatest gift you can give to another human being is to accept, respect, and love them. That for most people, sure, love means you must do what I want. And for us, no, love does not mean that. Love means you get to do what you want and I still love you. Okay. We also know that love is freedom and joy, and attachment is bondage and misery, which is why we won't attach to you. We won't try to be around you when you're dysfunctional or anything like that, or try to get your thumbs up. And our perception does transcend our five senses, which is why we are spiritual and not confused, unflappable again. And that's because we overflow with our humanity. So divinity did descend. Divinity is not an entity, though. Like I said, it's a sphere of consciousness. It's energy around us. And we already know that the most precious thing is life itself. And we realize this now, not on our deathbed. Okay. With that being said, the divine masculines that help to keep things in a perspective that allows for every divine feminine to know how to stay both a nurturer and a protector and a person grounded in the aspects of having healthy conversations. Okay, so one, we get to practice looking to differentiate our nervous system and us, and remembering, okay, even if they are dysfunctional and in their hypervigilance and they're doing some dramatic movie, I don't have to participate. That in and of itself is challenging, not in a bad way, but that's why we tolerate. There are moments where, because people from your herd, you have a vast and varied herd, so any herd will have Diego, Manny, Sid, Pacha, Cusco, squirrels, okay? So you're any of that. But of course, if you're in the Enlightenment Soul Age group, you're self-aware to the nth degree. And that is because you have a whole self. And also, if you're just a human being, you might not want to use the word enlightenment. So I'm going to say, if you're a person who knows how to be aware of your emotions when they come up, and you take ownership and accountability, and you don't project them, you're at a good place. Okay, so right here, you would know if I use the word tolerate, or if I'm tolerating, as I'm exchanging and interacting, my mind is going to be not present. I'm actively in an emotion that's saying that I'm having to be here. I don't have to be here. It's an option. I also am going to be a person that got taught or heard is here to be there for each other. And there are those who can and there are those who can't. So I have the ability to know that, what am I giving? At the end of the day, what is this that I am giving to someone? Well, we also know that attention is one of the highest forms of love. So when a broken-hearted 1-year-old and 3-year-old comes your way, they will be a completely unhealed, traumatized human being who is not taking ownership of any of their self. So they're bringing to you the teenager attitude because they're unconscious. Their inner child is not there. You meet always, when dysfunction is present, the maladaptive child behavior. It's maladaptive because while as a 1-year-old, 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, it protected them. Once they start moving to 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, now they're living it out. And they're going to want their peers to accept them. So now they've moved to having the second alloparenting group. So the household is the first. Now there's the second. Here we got karma going on. Now they're going to go and build karma. So there's still no demon attached to anyone. What we have is a potential blamer or a martyr superior. What we have is a potential anxious or an avoidant. Or what we have is a potential, in this case, anxious, fearful, or anxious, avoidant. Okay, so I'm using the styles right now, but we could talk about the attachment categories. Either or, we have attachment wounds, we have childhood trauma, trust breaks, we have PTSD, we have trauma survivors of all types. So we got a past child there and or teenager, and then if as they grow up something happens and they don't heal it, so let's say they use that generalized thinking because they say, you know what, since I got lied to by this man and I got in this relationship and they were abusive and then I got used here or there, once they have that, it's always going to happen. So there's this generalized thinking that people adapt, and studies have shown they don't move beyond their PTSD because they don't recover. They want bystanders, one, to consistently take their side. In fact, they talk about their trauma and they identify with it. So what begins to happen is called re-traumatization. And there's like a whole way we could go about how people and movies, who are pretty shitty movies, because, you know, creativity comes in many forms, and there are those who use their unhealed trauma to create what are, to those of us who have healthy self-worth and build a snowman so we stay innocent like a three-year-old, like for real in our hearts, not pretend. You consistently will not understand those lustful, not meaningful, very barbaric is the word I'm going to use type of stuff. And yeah, you're going to be completely oblivious to all that is in what is torture if you even bother trying to have me watch some. And I remember there's this one show that I would every now and then peek at because I can't help but peek when somebody has a TV on. And then I will keep watching it. I'm like, okay, you need to really tune it out. But tuning out is hard for me. So I either have to put a headphone or headset on. But long story short, luckily, I just decided to move myself every time this TV show was on, and that's because of the torture that would take place in my body. Nothing beautiful came from the biochemistry of what instead people who have their survival nervous system consistently engaged in seem to think is great dopamine, and I don't even know what other shit comes from limerence and the survival stuff. I'm serious, it's not shit for the ones who don't know blissfulness. I know blissfulness, and I know healthy self-worth, and I know how to use my higher social engagement system. So whenever I'm around any type of something that is in a space of what in fact is a person who used their childhood trauma and then they put it on a screen, and I was like, what? I found this out because of one of the good therapists explaining that this human being who did do a bunch of this stuff is a person who has a very, very sad childhood. And then I get to hear from people who I do know are smart how, well, you know, the entertainment industry can't make boring stuff. They have to dramatize it. And I'm like, huh, not going to agree with the word boring there. I'm going to say that I like my biochemistry of what is love and oxytocin and blissfulness, because it helps me to live a longer, healthy life and avoid what is called inflammation of my organs and a lot more. And hey, you don't have to believe in anything. I'm attachment and trauma informed. So I'm going to say I learned about the embodied brain enough to know my biology is doing really great thanks to me knowing how to be in my rest and rejuvenate mammalian heritage. I don't want to be in my survival. I don't need it unless I'm in the forest, and thank goodness I'm choosing to stay with people in a home and have money. And you know, so I know some people are like, wow, really? Yeah, that's what happens when you get educated about how the embodied brain works. You're like, okay, any one of you, you can go keep being teenagers. I'm going to be the serious person. I was already serious as a four-year-old. I'm going to keep being serious as a 44-year-old, and I'm not going to change my mind. Oh, no, you can go and watch the shitty entertainment you want. I will only basically subject myself to it when I have to, and luckily I'm such a vocal three-year-old that people have decided that I'm closed-minded to anything that is artistic, and I have consistently nodded my head to yes. Yes, I'm a boring, artistically, all of it. Yes, just let me go now, because I'm not doing that. That is an interest, and I have no interest. I have a different interest. Let's do something that we all are interested in. So right here is an example of what it looks like when a healthy, self-worth person has to deal with people who have different interests. So they want to watch shitty movies. And of course, I will be respectful. They're not shitty. It's just a personal opinion because I, in my human being Maria body, will have to recuperate when it comes to watching some of the movies or they're not documentaries. So in time, I've learned how to say, you know what? You call it whatever word you want. You can say it's my brain. You can say it's me. You can say I'm making a big deal. I'm going to simply put inform you. If we want to watch something, I will watch X, Y, Z, D, E, F, G. Or, you know, the list is very straightforward. Don't put on anything that is horror. And then if it's dramatic, how dramatic is it? And tell me how it ends. That way I know what I'm dealing with and then I can withstand it potentially. And I've been pretty blessed. I have a good herd. My herd likes to listen. So I get to be the one who's closed off to trying out some things. And I nod my head and I remove myself from the room. And there you go. And I don't make a big deal about people who want to watch it. And it's not shitty. So FYI, everybody has different tastes with entertainment. Just saying. So I'm not one of those people who says, how can you watch it? I mean, sometimes I've said, how can you watch it? But my how can you watch it is more of like, I can't watch it. My body literally is just suffering. And then my brain and then my biochemistry. And then I have to work through it all. And then I have to think about how many people out there actually live life like this. And they're not a movie. At least in a movie, I know it's just a movie. But then I have to remember that it was made by a person who did go through shit. And now I'm even so... It doesn't end. You can't disconnect being a person who cares about people's inner world because you have a child in there, and I know, and I'm attachment trauma-informed now, so it's a big deal. And here's what happens when we see children being teased by their parents, and I won't ever forget this one as they showed this short, and I think that it became some kind of trend. These fathers that were shaving their beards and their children completely crying. Yeah, no, this is not funny. Or when I have friends who share with me a child going towards a socket, an electric socket, and the actual human being father stopping the human being mother in this meme from going to save that child. Yeah, I've grown up to know how to just disengage from it. But in my belly, I'm like, wow, yeah, that's... It's a good thing I'm not a mother because I would totally not be the mother who allowed that human being father to stop them. But then again, I also wouldn't be with a man like that because there's no way I would be with a man. I would become one of those women who would, I'm not saying it's a good thing, but if any human being would say, hey, let me endanger our child, I'm going to totally not accept that at all. It doesn't even matter what you may think. That's exactly why the perfect combination of any couple will always be a healthy, self-worth human being and another healthy, self-worth human being, as we discussed in yesterday. We shared that, but partnership. It's called mutual respect. It's called we can appreciate differences. And it's called no. They're not going to be doing anything physically dangerous, and I don't care what you tell me. And I'm not going to actually nudge on this one. And here's where I would say most of those who I've met who know what it is to be a mother will find that they have no room to actually, you know, have anything to say. They can go and spend some time. Okay, you know what? I'm going to go have time. And that's the minute where we will allow that because we know that time with the father or if there's other types of dynamics. Okay, so we all know we have to share. But the part about what could take place, I completely will not agree with any type of physical injury. So here's another data point just in case you're curious. There's this man. He does a TED Talk and he has scanned I don't know how many brains. Like 3,000 million, there's an exorbitant amount. And he was pointing out, you know, therapists really should scan brains because there are things that can happen where there's going to be brain damage. And he gave a personal story. So in this personal story, he has a nephew who was a nice boy, he fell off the bike. And from one day to the next, this nice boy, he became an aggressor. I don't remember what he did to a little girl, but he attacked her physically, and they had to begin tending to his behavior. Long story short, I forget how long time passed. Finally, at a certain point, they got a brain scan, and there had been damage to the brain. And once they got ready to work on that, the boy was not in need of psychological attention. The boy had had some type of brain damage. So I think people really need to understand, men and women, that physical safety is not a joke. So I'm not joking. When I see people with these memes and they say, oh, we're becoming soft, I don't give a shit what gender you are. You fucking stay away from children. In my book, I don't have any though. So I'm looking forward to the laws passing. And here's where some people, you know, they talk about that. It's so extreme. Well, if you fall from a tree and you don't go and get a scan because they can't scan your brain, I don't want you falling from a tree. You know, like, obviously, the beauty of life is that it's not any extreme. So this is the other part. A healthy self-worth person knows when it comes to people, as long as they care about each other and the herd, there's always room for conversations, which is why nobody silences anyone. But if you bring to me a nurturer that you think physical danger is what's going to man you up or woman you up or they you up, fuck that shit. Get the fuck away from me. That's all I'm going to say. Because that's ancient silverback talk, and that's why we still have a 3D, 4D collective. I'm going to say that it's reasonable to note that some of us are a little bit too quote-unquote serious, but I just gave you the story of the brain scanner person, and simply put, if you put your finger in a socket, that's not a joke. You can be fried for it. So no, I'm not going to say putting children and or young teenagers in physical situations where you don't have a responsible who is basically a human being who's aware that another human being who's younger than you needs your attention. You're not going to have them doing something without your eyes observing and making sure they hold that knife right, they hold the arrow right. If somebody doesn't care enough to notice that your age is an immature age, this is where I would say people don't think about that when they think it's, oh, why are you making a big deal? It's not about a big deal. Are you watching with the eyes of a human being who knows that in front of you, you have somebody who's not man, woman, boy, girl, whatever it is, they're an immature human being. So for example, I would not want to go hunting or doing any of that activity because I'm not an expert. I don't have the eyes for it. I don't know if you're using your hands right with a knife or a gun or whatever. I would want you to be with somebody who knows how to handle all that. And then that they have the emotional, mature responsibility in their brain to know that you are to be observed as a human being who does not know what the fuck you're doing. So it's not about the activities. To me, it's about what I've noticed personally. People who live from unhealed trauma, an adaptive child, maladaptive as grown-ups behavior, from those movies to the memes, the joking with the beards, the kids, they all don't know that emotions stay with you. So the part about authoritative is the ideal parenting style. It's a third attunement, and then it's repairing ruptures. And me as a sensitive child, this is where we have people who are highly sensitive. Now, luckily for me, I have a good environment, so I learned how it's okay to be sensitive. So I'm not ashamed of my emotions. I don't have a, oh no, if I start crying in front of you, I need to feel like I did something that I should be ashamed of, okay? So I'm a woman, so that obviously for our gender stereotypes leads my own gender to be given quote unquote a break. That doesn't mean that for a woman, when you're being vulnerable and then you get discarded, that you're not actually somebody who's aware of what's happening. Like this part where attachment coaches will inform women of how a avoidant will discard you, shut you out, and shut the door, which any person who's healthy self-worth will know about. I know plenty of avoidants. And yes, I recall those moments very clearly. And like I was saying, we don't need a coach to say, it's not your fault. They're doing it for themselves. as soon as I hear that, I'm like, yeah, nobody has any doubt, if you have healthy self-worth, that it's not your fault. I'm not a childhood trauma survivor who thinks everything's my fault. I was okay with being highly sensitive again as a child. So no, not my fault. No, don't worry. I won't blame me. I know I'm not broken. It's, again, healthy self-worth child here. Thank you, mother, so much. So anytime I hear these avoidant or anxious or avoidant fearful saying it's not your fault that they threw you away like a piece of trash, they are going to go and build a long-term relationship with somebody who's going to treat them like shit. We already know that too. I've seen that. That one is even more fabulous. And while the women who are not independent, they go and whine about it. And I've told every single woman, as they would keep coming to me, I'm like, can you leave them alone? Don't you see they're busy with their toxic relationship? What are you doing right now? Because I don't see you letting it go. I also don't see you healing. I see that you are, what is this? Pent up. What are you doing right now? You seem to be resentful. I don't think you loved them. Love means that you want to see them happy, not that you are waiting for the next shoe to drop and for them to be miserable. So people who are self-empowered and healthy self-worth, we don't do let me watch until you're suffering. So I have a story for that one. My friend, the one that I did not speak to for 5 years, when he came through text message in MSN, and he's writing me while I'm at my grandmother's funeral. So this was, what year was this? 2000, who knows, 8, 9, 10, I forget. But my paternal grandmother's funeral, and I get a message. Are you happy now? Now this, let me share the story. This is the same friend who lied about fucking my friend, and they both decided to lie to me for no other reason except for, I don't know, that's the point. I asked both. They didn't have answers. I had an answer. I said, what you both did shows me you don't think I would have been happy for you, which tells me I'm not your friend, because if you have to hide that you're fucking from your girlfriend, I'm going to say you either thought I was into you, which I'm not, you know this very well, to my man friend. And to you, well, I don't have anything to say because really we have a different established friendship, but still, you both didn't think I'd be happy for you. That's the only reason you would hide something, because you literally decided to hide it. They hid it. It was not like a random we didn't share. No, they actively ran off together like, you know, thieves into the night and left me with other friends. The other friends had noticed because I wasn't looking at my friend. I don't look at my friends like you're going to hide something from me. I don't, right here. Once you end up being uncovered, because whatever you're hiding is going to come up, I'm just going to think about it. Let me think. I don't care that they're fucking, but they were not thinking I'd be happy for them. So only conclusion I have to be afraid to tell me that you're fucking behind my back. You know, and again, I don't know why you're doing it behind my back, because we're not in and I'm polyamory. But still, long story short, this friend, they are writing me, are you happy? And I don't know what they're talking about. What are you talking about? Ah, she's cheating on me. See, the thing is, I had warned my friend when he informed me of what he wanted to do. And this is what I said. I said, you know, you were left after 14 years of a relationship. I'm going to say that you're not healed yet. I called you up because you have a friend who was letting you stay at home, throwing up at night. And he told me while he's out clubbing with us, having a good time, and I don't understand why he's not calling you, which I understood once my friend got to the club. Yes, did you ever see two roosters dancing with hens? That's when I said, wow, and they're friends? That seems more like an egoic competition between boys who are not popular. In fact, they weren't. They were basically unpopular boys in teenage land, because that's how long I've known both of them. Now you're 25-year-olds and you act like buffoons with women who, by the way, have no interest in you because they're more interested in the PRs who are, by the way, monogamous, but fucking them all. And all of these people are lovers. And I'm like, wow, that is... what is this? How old are they? And that's what I witnessed in college too. And I was more of baffled than anything because I'm thinking, what is this? And now I know, thank you, grown-up attachment trauma researchers. They're all maladaptive child behaviors who stayed stuck in their teenager attitude because that's the one who's going to lead the way unless you become your higher self, which is your prefrontal cortex, which means you have bilateral integration. Your mammalian heritage It's nothing special, believe me. I didn't do anything special. I mean, yes, thank you, Jesus and God, for being the beginners to my guide here, and Mom, of course, because she's the one. Are you going to jump off a bridge if your stupid friends do it? She didn't say stupid, but I will. No, I won't. And the adults kept on giving me good guidance to how to get to college and stuff. And the moderation, definitely good. Everything else, I was confused as I got older and saw people continue to stay there. Teenage self, you can better bet that as a 44-year-old woman, when I look out there and see unhealthy self-worth men, women, and theys, I'm not baffled anymore. It's called dysfunction that comes from adaptive children, unhealed trauma that is projected into the world and out there as maladaptive child behavior with, I hate and distrust humanity. I hate men. I hate women. I hate everything, and I'm going to go around prancing and say I'm yelling at everyone, and we call that standing up, and we're going to compare ourselves to the 1960s protesters because that's how we're going to make it look like we are. No, we're going to feel. You're going to make up some identity for you. We're prancing around like Elsa without knowing that the three-year-old is still waiting for you to get home to yourself because, let's not forget, who wants to be married and stay focused on one human being for the rest of their life? So there's some people that do that, and they also think they're not, they're not on a journey anywhere yet. So when I see half people, basically teenagers, I just say, okay, higher purpose. Yes, I go and inspire human potential with the IHP community. Other than that, where's the movie at today? Where's entertainment? Are we going out? No, I don't actually do that. So my friend, as he's writing me, I don't know what he's talking about. I'm at a funeral. I tell him, I don't know what you're talking about. He informs me that he's being cheated on, which I had mentioned. I don't know if you're going to have a committed relationship here because you are unhealed. She doesn't have interest in being in a relationship. She just broke up with one after cheating on that same one. And I'm just, thinking that that's something that's not going to go somewhere. And lo and behold, it went somewhere. But as he gets cheated on, which I didn't know about, I get this, again, message. And I'm like, okay, no, I didn't know. But two, why would I be happy? You obviously don't know me. And I said, I'm not happy. I'm sorry for you. I don't know how to help you. I had a conversation with you directly to your face about all of these things that you're now bringing to me. Lo and behold, they stayed together for I forget how many other years. He even proposed to her, at which point they got engaged, at which point not even 2 days later the engagement. Lo and behold, she drops him like a hat. And long story short, my friend, luckily, he did heal this time from that. He got a good partner in time. But this story was to say, in no way, shape, or form did I participate in his maladaptive childhood behavior as a teenager when he says, are you happy? No, I'm not happy for you. And no, I'm not actually going to be doing anything about it because I'm not in your relationship. And I don't have to say anything because you're in your relationship. But long story short, this person came with a spiteful little comment. They didn't come to me with a conversation, and that's what an adaptive child does. Not to mention, they came at me with the comment because I had given them advice that was supportive. They then found themselves being in a relationship that wasn't what they wanted. Did they leave the relationship? No. Like I said, after this message, they stayed with them for I don't even remember if it was 2 or 3 more years. In fact, it was a total of 5 years. So whenever it was, once they came back, it's because they found themselves dumped, all of a sudden blocked, unfriended. They couldn't contact anyone, and they were without a job, and they were in the shits. And that day, of course, as a mystic, I had perceived it 7 days prior. I was not about to refuse to help someone I love because of their behavior. That is what a grown-up does. That is what an emotional grown-up, and here's where it's not because of fear of going to hell, but there is a relationship that you have with that infinite sphere of consciousness that we talk about. So I have to say I've chosen love thanks to Jesus and God, and I learned how to treat people, and I stick to it because it feels like the right thing to do to help your herd. And that's why no matter what emotional immaturity, no matter what unkindness, a person who is mature will experience, you're a patcha. You're not a movie, by the way. So you will know that you're being presented with an opportunity when people that are in an emotional spot are in an emotional spot. And that's why you don't participate in the dysfunction. And you don't go and lecture an adaptive child. You don't tell somebody how to handle their unhealed trauma, their maladaptive child behavior. You are there for them and you support them and you do direct communication, like I did with my friend. In all of the instances where my friend acted like a buffoon, like any of my other friends, and you know, for them I can be a buffoon. This is why it always can go both ways. I'm imperfect and flawed. Nobody here is absent of pissing people off. The difference is I'll take ownership of it. You tell me I pissed you off, I'll be like, I'm so sorry. Tell me what I can do so that I can respect your space. So that's the difference, is I will ask, what can I do to respect spaces? But I also won't lie to you about a relationship, which is also why polyamory here never had an issue saying to somebody, I'm polyamory. I'm not going to hide who I am to you, especially if we're going to build a snowman, and that means a life together. And if you can't handle that you get to share me, well, then you're the person who doesn't understand what it means to be a priceless human being, because you don't have healthy self-worth in the forefront yet. You obviously don't have the educational and or emotional awareness in your brain of what the self is. And so you don't have the capacity to let yourself know. Some people move beyond monoamory and are not monoamorous. One, so you're not open-minded enough to accept different types of love. That's your choice. You can also respect another person. And here's why, for the 5D collective, at the very least, and a healthy self-worth person, it doesn't become a competition or a debate. People accept each other for who they are and they talk about it. They accept what makes them feel safe or not. So this counts for any type of partnership. You're not going to put each other down. You're not going to talk down. That's unhealthy self-worth. That means you think you're superior in fear. It means that you have an opinion, which is why if we have tolerance coming up as an emotion, a healthy self-worth person will say, I'm not needing to tolerate anything. This is my teenage emotion. I can be a grown-up and I can use my mouth and I can use my voice and I can say, you know, I really don't like it. And that's why our love, the oversoul, is an opportunity. Like my friend, all of my friends, all of my lovers, all people, all of the family, every single one of your oversoul for 5D mystics is the opportunity to play and build a snowman like a three-year-old. You don't lose the innocence because you don't lose being kind. You don't lose saying the truth. You don't lose believing in love because you're love and so are they. You don't lose kindness because it's a choice to be a person. In fact, I don't use the word kindness. I use the word, I'm going to be me, tell you how I think. No, I won't lie. If you don't know how to handle my mouth, I will say I'm sorry, but I won't be filtering my mouth. And if you don't like it, then I'll say, you know what? I guess we can't talk then because I don't know how to filter my mouth. I didn't know I was talking to a child. I don't have to tend to your nervous system by using words that you're deciding. If you want a robot, then go get one. I'm not a robot. And if you're going to bring me the whole, but society, I'm going to say again, I get it, but I'm not part of that group. So what are we going to do? Because I can't and won't be doing what you're asking me to do because it's not how I'm going to be inclined to be. There are those who say you're just not trying. And that's when, again, a person will repeat, how about this? Sure, I'm not trying. What do you want to do? Give me another alternative. So there's always going to be something you engage with. It won't be a dysfunctional, dysregulated nervous system. It will be with a conversation. It will be with we can agree to disagree. We can accept our differences, have healthy, functional adult, effective communication, enjoy each other, be passionately upset at each other. We can see and appreciate each other. We have growing, healthy conflict conversations, and therefore we have mutual respectful tones. Doesn't mean we don't have pissy tones. It simply means we listen to each other. Nobody gets silenced. And that's why you don't leave the table and you don't leave the room, like with my friend. 2 days. 2 days for us to chit-chat about what I knew. Okay, now you're here. Let's talk about what we got to experience when we went through what we went through. And 2 days it took, and then we had our lovely intervention. The universe likes to intervene in certain ways. And I'll never forget actually what made us laugh. But that's why I learned from my friend how I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't disengage from speaking to people because my friend is the perfect example of exactly why people don't know how to basically speak their truth. They're all maladaptive child behavior people who have shame and defectiveness. They have an adaptive child with unhealed trauma. They don't think of their envy, shame, their spitefulness, their low self-esteem mannerisms, indirect communication, passive-aggressive, any of what they do envy as something that can be worked on. They don't look at getting healthy self-worth. They don't look at getting humble. And that's because their behavior, they pathologize it. They don't go and understand it with the good attachment trauma information. Those of us who do, we bring forth secure attachment relationships and we bring forth mutual respect. So let's be kind. Let's be understanding. Let's have beautiful conversations. We'll be back with more. Have a great day.